We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
March has arrived, and we are only weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. Make sure to head to BetOnline and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting March 15th. That's right, I said $100,000 and March 15th. You don't need to be hardcore to get in on the action, and with multiple entries available, it's this season's best chance to cash in. And remember, the NBA and XFL are still going strong. So whatever your passion is, BetOnline is the place to be for all your betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, our gracious sponsor. It has been a little bit since we've talked. Last time we talked, we had Michael McNamara on board, but this time it's just the two of us, Mason and I, here to ruin your day with our progressively boring takes. Mason, what's up with you, man?
Not much.
Have you binged watched Altered Carbon yet?
I am 4 or 5 episodes in, so I'm not finished, but I did watch a lot of it this weekend.
Okay. I'm 7 episodes in, so I am at the season finale. We should be.
Oh, it's only seven episodes or
it's eight. It's eight. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't know that. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I liked the first season a lot because of the world building that they did, and it was such a unique concept, and I love the way they explored it. I felt like the first season went off the rails towards the end of it. I'm not going to spoil anything for people, but they introduced a character, and I hated that character, and the show essentially became about that character, and it went off the rails. This season's been pretty good. I've been loving it. And yeah, I just think it's, I'm all about some weird dystopian future sci-fi stuff. And I think the best show in that genre right now is The Expanse. I guess in the sci-fi genre, The Expanse is phenomenal. I cannot endorse it enough. If you ever get a chance to watch it.
I watched the first season, loved it. And then I was just, I mean, totally on me. Like, I feel like when I was watching the second season, I was always kind of like multitasking and not fully investing in it. And I kind of lost track of what was happening. And I need to restart from the beginning of season two or even the end of season one and keep going, because I really did like the first season of that
show. You should, because then the third season gets really wild.
Yeah. And didn't it port over from one network, like one network cut it, and then so Netflix picked it up, right? And it got cut, or did Amazon?
Amazon picked it up. I think FX cut it.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I agree. And I'm with you on Alter Carbon too. Like, I thought it was a really cool concept, and I thought it was definitely good enough in the first season to keep me interested to watch the second season. And so far I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, good stuff. But speaking of weird dystopian futures, but I really don't have a good segue for this.
something Zion is awesome.
Yeah, Zion is gonna alter some carbon. The Pelicans have played.
You are not allowed to cut that out. You have to keep that in.
I'm not going to cut anything. I don't cut things out.
That's true. What you hear is what you get with us.
It's all one take. We don't redo this unless we have some technical mishaps that cause us to record a whole podcast. I think our first ever podcast. Very first one. So the Pelicans have played a few games. They beat the brakes off the Cavaliers, which was really fun to watch. I was there for that game. And obviously Zion did Zion things, Ingram did Ingram things, and Drew had a good game as well. Everyone's like, oh, that's a big three.
We're both undefeated at games this year.
Yeah, I think – how many have you been to?
I've been to six.
Oh, you've been to more than I have.
Yeah, I've been to two road games and four in New Orleans. And
I've been to four home games.
You'll get the Hawks, hopefully, because that game's supposed to be played. Hopefully you'll be in town for it. Hey, maybe I'll be in town for it.
Yeah, I am definitely planning on being at the Hawks game. Yeah, I was there for their first win of the season against the Nuggets. I was there for the back-to-back wins against the Pacers and the Rockets, and then the Cavs
most recently. Yeah, so I've done – it's weird. Four of my six games were either the Pacers or the Bulls, because I went to the two Bulls – the two home games in New Orleans and then the two road games, and then – the Warriors and I think, the Rockets. It was a weekend back to back around the holiday time, Saturday, Sunday. The Pelicans swept the back to back with the Rockets and Pacers. So we just got to keep going to games, man.
Yeah, someone needs to start a GoFundMe to get us to the games, including all the road games. And I promise you, it will be worth your while if you're an invested Pelicans fan.
You can send Schmidt to Minnesota in March. He can deal with the cold for a change.
Hell no. We could just split it based off the Mason-Dixon line.
God damn, don't
we can
do
call
that
it the Mason-Schmidt line, and then you get everything that is north of Tennessee, and I'll take everything that is south of Tennessee, and we'll just work it from there.
Doesn't give me. I guess I go to DC to see them play the Wizards on April 1st. I'll do that. That's fine. That's the only good one though.
You get some cool cities, man.
I don't.
New York. I mean, literally cool because like it's cold. but no, New York is a cool city. Toronto's a great city.
They're home for the Knicks.
Technically,
they're not going to New York.
No. You're talking about for the rest of the season. I'm talking about, like, in perpetuity. Like
I thought you meant just the rest of this year. All right, gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get all the home games by default.
Yeah.
I just got to base myself out of New Orleans again. so the Pelicans beat the Cavaliers, and then they had a tough fought battle against the Lakers, in which they lost to LeBron James doing LeBron James things. Again, Anthony Davis did not play. Nor did he get a tribute video. I don't agree with that decision. I really don't. But whatever. He didn't get a tribute video, which is fine.
When he posts the Instagram post, he gets the tribute video. I really actually don't care as much about either one. I just give I just give AD shit about it because he said he was going to and he didn't, but I'm not super passionate either way, but I totally get the argument that it's just what teams do these days. So
yeah, well, good for him. But yeah, so the Pelicans lost that game. Zion had a great game. It was a really fun back and forth between him and LeBron, who LeBron was clearly motivated to play this game, unlike the night before against the Grizzlies, for whatever reason. It escapes me. I just cannot understand why that may be the case. But LeBron was very motivated to play. And even there was a moment in the game, I think, to close the first half where Zion got a pretty monstrous dunk on Kyle Kuzma. And LeBron came down, pulled up from basically 40 feet, like Steph Curry range, drains a three immediately to quiet the crowd down. And it was really fun to watch. The Pelicans had no answer for LeBron. They simply just don't have a guy on the roster who can slow him in any kind of capacity. Nor
miss you, Solomon Hill.
Miss you, Dante Cunningham. But they need their team defense isn't good enough to contain him either. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if the Pelicans do end up meeting the Lakers in the playoffs. If they don't, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it'll be interesting to see how they match up and adjust based off of these four meetings where the Lakers have controlled it pretty much the whole way. Yeah. Brandon Ingram had an awful game, maybe the worst of his career, and you could say that for each Laker game that he's had, except for the last one before this. But three out of four Laker games have been just horrendous. Lonzo Ball had a really good game, one of his best of the season, and I feel like there's no reason he shouldn't be able to do that night in, night out. Drew was just not there. I don't think he hurt the team. It's not like he had a game where he missed a lot of shots and had a lot of turnovers. He just wasn't – you didn't really feel him. He just wasn't there.
Yep.
But, yeah, so LeBron kind of took over the game. At the end, the Pelicans did not score many points in the fourth quarter, only walking away with 19 points. And as always, when you lose to a team like the Lakers, it brings out the absolute worst kind of people on the internet who have takes about everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's even getting on the staff. You saw Jamil respond to a crazy Lonzo stand, and Jamil absolutely murdered this guy. It was great. One of the best tweets I've seen all year. But, like, it's ridiculous that these guys – it's one thing to, like, you know, go after us or just talk into the vacuum of the internet and Twitter and all that. That's fine. It's another thing to just start tagging, like, active coaches on the Pelicans roster and going at them and telling them, you know,
how to do their job.
How to do their job and saying ridiculous stuff where you clearly – you don't know what you're talking about. And I don't know, it's just extremely disrespectful. And as a coach, if I was a coach on a team, if I got tagged with that kind of stuff every day, like, it would bother me too. And so, like, I'm honestly impressed that Jamil hasn't deleted his Twitter account or gone private or just gone off social media, because it's not worth it. Like, that kind of, like, harassment's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. So if you guys ever feel the compulsion to tweet at one of the coaches, first of all, don't.
Just don't.
Don't. Leave them be. Or just you know, like, they're people too. Just remember that. Anytime you interact with a person online, they're people too.
Yeah. And listen, we're not – I don't think – well, at least me, I'm not blameless either. I've said things about the way – I mean, never personal attacks, obviously, but just, like, about the way guys play that could be seen as a little bit harsh. And so – I'm blocked by Julius Randle after, like, last year or whatever, 2 years.
Did you get blocked by anyone this year?
No, I'm safe this year so far. But yeah, I mean,
that you know of.
Fair enough. And I mean, I know it was blocked for a period of time by Eric Gordon. I don't know if I still am. And everyone's blocked by Aminu. Or no, everyone's blocked by Bellinelli. Marco Bellinelli's blocked everyone.
I'm not blocked by any of these players.
Oh, well, you're for Marco, you're a rare breed. He went on a.
I'm only blocked by Preston.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm not going down that path. But Yeah, it's and just I just wanted to say that we're, you know, understand that there's been I can be better as well. So it's but
I'm never, perfect.
Sure you are.
You keep I do no wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was never called out by David Griffin online.
But you weren't exactly proven wrong. You were just told to think about different things.
Things that we can't measure. In any case, kind of a side tangent. I was in New Orleans this past week. I had the opportunity to once again judge the Tulane Pro Basketball Negotiation Competition, which I'm actually going to be writing something about. So keep an eye out for that. Just a brief summary of what this is it's the Tulane Law School puts on a competition every year. It's actually been the third year where they call in law schools from all over the country to negotiate basketball contracts. And the way it works is, you know, let's say I'm Harvard Law School. I might be faced up against Berkeley Law School, and they're each given a prompt where they represent a certain side of a negotiation. So this year, one of the prompts was Malik Beasley and his restricted free agency. And one team was going to represent the New York Knicks. The other team was going to represent Malik and his agent. And so they have to work together to hammer out a deal that has to be CBA legal. They have to get creative with it in terms of using incentives, and they have to use actual player comps to justify like what their client is worth. And then they negotiate a deal, and the judges score them based off like the quality of the deal, the quality of the negotiation, and if it was legal, and small other things. So really fun competition. I had the opportunity to judge it for a second year.
Do you get bonus points for acting like the actual Knicks in this negotiation process?
There was a team that tried to simulate Rich Paul, I heard, because that is Rich is the agent for Malik.
Of course,
it is. In any case, the finals, in the finals, basically the three best teams were going against a panel of judges who were actually professionals. These guys all work for the Brooklyn Nets. So the judges actually, the competition flew in a bunch of judges from all over the country. I think there was 25, maybe 30, maybe less. I don't know. Somewhere around that number of judges. Most of them are either front office executives or player agents themselves. You know, there was names like Bobby Marks. There was Pete D'Alessandro. There was a bunch of guys from the Spurs front office, a bunch of guys from the Brooklyn front office, a bunch of guys from the Orlando Magic front office, so on and so forth. So it's a really good opportunity if you're in law school or pursuing sports law, because you get to be in the room with all of these guys who have connections to the league. And I can tell you firsthand, this program and competition has already produced a number of people that have gone on to work in the league. But that's kind of besides the point. The finals was three teams that had to go against these professionals. There was a panel of professionals. They were all actually on the Brooklyn Nets staff. And the Brooklyn Nets staff, those guys, they were, two of them were founders of this competition, and they were Tulane Law alums. And one of them was from Harvard Law, and he won the competition last year. And they were representing the New Orleans Pelicans and the opposing teams. Each team got to be the Miami Heat, and they had to negotiate a trade for Drew Holiday. And so each team kind of got a turn negotiating back and forth. And the team that lost managed to give up Bam Adebayo, Tyler Harrow, Duncan Robinson, and like two unprotected picks for Drew Holiday. And the funny thing is, there's actually two judges from the Pelicans front office there as well. I'm not going to name them. Well, I guess they were already named, but it's public. So it was Somax Sarkar, who's part of analytics, and Alex Klein, who is one of their scouts. And both of them were there. And I was telling him, I'm like, man, if you guys got this deal in real life, like, and turned it down, I would write the biggest hit piece. But yeah, no, it was a good time hanging out with these people. But
so can I ask a question about that? Yeah. So their team's negotiating the same trade. Is there a team that basically would say no deal? Because it sounded like the way you were describing it to me beforehand, when we were talking about it a few days ago, was that every team reached an agreement. Is one of the options to not reach an agreement, or how does it work?
You can walk away from it.
And okay.
I think every team kind of felt pressure to reach.
Yeah.
Okay. An agreement because they felt that, well, to win, maybe, you know, we need to get something done. And let me tell you, like, these judges were really good. Like, the people on, like, representing the Pelicans were straight up bullies when it came to the negotiation. And so the team that ended up winning had the line of the entire competition. There was a moment, so they were, you know, they started off the negotiation pretty strong. Unlike the other teams, they came straight up with, like, you know, we want to build around Jimmy Butler, and in an effort to do that, we consider Bam Adebayo just untouchable. So we want to just lay that on the table up front. So with that in mind, you know, like, their first offer, they spent their first round, like, not even giving an offer, just like fishing for information, and then their first offer came in at like Kendrick Nunn and salary and like a pick or something. Mm-hmm. And so which was really, really strong, because like most other, I think like another team just like gave up Hero right off the bat. And so the judges pushed
back. Was Magic Johnson participating? Is that what happened?
Oh my goodness. So the judges pushed back. They're like, yeah, you know, we're at a pretty significant gap of where we stand. We're looking, you know, our conversation, we're not looking to trade Drew Holiday. So, but if you want to convince us, our conversation starts with Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, and a number of draft picks. You know, that's where the judges started back. And there was like a pause, and one of the guys across it, like on the other team, like looked at them. They're like, so let me ask you a question. Would you do this deal if you were us? and the whole room just erupted. And after a quiet down, the judge was like, yep, we would. But no, it was great. I mean, even then, like that team ended up giving up Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, a 2022 pick swap, a top 10 protected 2025 pick, and a top 10 protected 2027 pick.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot, especially looking at the market dynamics around the league, but in recent trades, this deadline. So and yeah, especially, and also not, I don't know what Miami's pick situation is for this summer, but this draft is not one you'd want to collect assets for anyway, for a lot of reasons for the Pelicans. So yeah, that's good. That's a good deal. Would you take that one if you're New Orleans for Drew?
Swap out Nunn with Robinson and I do it. I mean, I'd probably do it with Nunn anyway. I just don't like it's Nunn.
I mean, I would like to swap out Nunn for Robinson as well. I don't need him on this team for a lot of reasons, but I mean the picks are still enticing too, because they're further down the lines. They're assets you can also flip a little bit later and package with other picks you have. So there are options with that deal.
Yeah, I'm not in love with top 10 protection that far down the road. Miami just could be terrible, mm-hmm. but it's fine. Yep. Like those aren't going to be fantastic picks if they're top 10 protected.
Yeah. Yep. Agree.
But the judges agreed to it, and that team ended up winning. It was a fun experience. I totally forgot the point I was going to make with this.
I mean, it's still cool to talk about. I think people are interested to cool hear story. About that.
But yeah, I mean, if you guys are considering a career in law, then make sure you find a school that goes to this competition.
Judging by our Twitter mentions, you're not.
I'm definitely not considering a career in law. No, it was definitely cool. It was it's a very cool environment, and I can't say you're ever going to get a chance to be in a room full of that many executives and have that kind of access to these guys and that kind of one-on-one attention, like when they're judging your rounds and the ability to get feedback or just, you know, make connections. There's a mixer, there's a reception at the Omni Hotel, which is also a great time to schmooze and mingle. Yeah. It's a solid event and solid experience.
Yeah. I mean, even like I think of that the 2 years I went to Sloan when I was at UT, and even that's actually next weekend, but it's still like, it's so many people and it's not nearly as the type of intimate setting that what you experienced was, which is really neat. I mean, there's one of the nights there's a meetup where just like the NBA people go to a bar you can meet some really smart people, but it's not, that again, not quite what you got to experience. And that's, yeah, it's really cool.
There was a really funny moment when team one, who gave up Bam and all those other assets, they like said something along the lines of like, yeah, like, you know, we're really tied into trying to win now with Jimmy. So we're fine mortgaging our future with draft picks. And like the moment they said that, Bobby Marks just like let out a smirk that was like audible. And you're just like, you like look over and like Bobby Marks is just teasing. Like Bobby Marks, for if you don't know, was in Brooklyn when they gave up everything for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, all of those picks and swaps. So, yeah, fun times.
And the craziest thing is like there is an argument, and I'm not going to take a strong stand on this, but there's an argument that Bama versus Drew is close right now. Like, forget the future thing, but like that's
close as in what? As in like Bam is a better player than Drew right now?
As in it's close enough to like not dump Bam in so much else along with Bam. Like I take Drew, if I've got to win a game tomorrow, I'm taking Drew over Bam. But at the same time, I don't think the gap is so wide.
I think it's enormous. I think Bam is like a tier one prospect. You don't move him under any circumstance for Drew.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that like you were talking about how Bam, you're cool mortgaging the future and including Bam for Drew. And my point was that like, is swapping Bam for Drew even that much of an upgrade?
Oh, for the Heat? No, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we're on the same page. I was
confused where you were getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's no, just Bam, funny Bam to hear
is,
that.
Is like a 23, 21, like super young all-star already.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to have control of his contract for years. I mean, he's probably going to get maxed out, but it's immaterial. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bam's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's just hilarious to me that's you'd have to offer more than Bam for Drew. And someone actually did that.
That team started off with Tyler Herro and Nunn and Robinson right off the bat. And the judges pushed back with like, yeah, and the steal doesn't happen without Bam. They were like, oh.
The audacity.
Okay. Oh, no, it was like, yeah, and it's like, and we need draft picks. And it's like, wow, these guys are getting Billy Kinged. We've spent too much time on this. So yeah, kind of back enough to the Pelicans. The Pelicans are still in an interesting situation regarding the playoffs. Memphis just won a game. They beat Atlanta. I think Portland just won a game. A few other teams, the Kings are basically tied with the Pelicans. So I think the Pelicans have tiebreakers already over Portland. That's it. They win one more against Memphis, they have a tiebreaker against them. They win the next one against the Kings, they have a tiebreaker against them. They still have three left to play with the Spurs.
And they got to win at least two of those.
What complicates the issue for me is I really think it's going to take about around a 500 record to get in the playoffs. And the Pelicans don't have a really good track record of winning against teams with winning records. And there's not that many left. But I think in order to reach that 500 mark, they need to win. In my eyes, they need to nab at least two wins against teams above 500. I think they only have like four or so left. I think they have the Mavs, the Clippers,
the Heat, and Philly.
The Heat and Philly. Is that it? Jazz. They play the Jazz once more.
So five, yeah.
Five. They need to win two of those five.
Yeah.
They win two of those five, and then they're like 14 of their last 15 are against below 500 teams. And then that gives them a lot more breathing room down the stretch rather than having to go like 12-3 down the stretch, which sure it's possible, but like that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's really hard to do for any team, and you just can't predict injuries. I mean, JJ just got hurt.
Yeah. So what I'll say is that I could easily see a scenario where because of all the injuries that have happened with the Sixers, they're totally cool going in as the sixth seed rather than the five, or like if they feel like they can't catch the Heat and they're not going to be better than five, or even if they can get to four, I mean, staying out of the Bucks side of the bracket feels like a win. And so I could see them just kind of coasting down the stretch and resting Simmons and Embiid a lot, And that could be a pretty winnable game for the Pelicans down the stretch. So I'm not saying we should bank on that one as a guaranteed win, obviously, but I think that's of the games left against winning records. I've marked that one on the schedule, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll get up for the Jazz game as well, just given how
what's happened this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll get up for that game. Hopefully they get up for the Dallas game. Luka's status might be iffy.
And they've gotten embarrassed by Dallas this year, and Dallas actually hasn't played as well recently as they started
out. I just want Zion to make Porzingis fold in half. He bullied Kuzma. Like, Kuzma crumpled a few times last night when defending Zion.
B.I.'s done a good job on Kristaps this year. So, I mean, I'll be interested to see how they play that matchup-wise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Heat games, even though it's a home game, the Heat game is tough. I mean, they just beat the Bucks tonight, and I know that the Bucks missed like a million threes, and they're on a back-to-back, but still, that's still a nice win.
Wait, where the Heat game is in New Orleans?
Yep, on the
Friday, Heat are March a terrible 6th. Road team.
Fair counterpoint.
The Heat are a terrible road team. Philly is a terrible road team. So those are definitely things to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, again, if the Pelicans stay healthy, I think they can. There really isn't a game left on their schedule where they should get blown out.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe the Clippers.
I was going to say maybe the Mavericks because it's the second night of a back-to-back. But hopefully they take
care of this. Well, that's the thing. So do you think Zion plays on back-to-backs? You think they sit him?
At this point, I actually kind of lean towards no. I don't think it's – I mean, I don't think – do you think the decision's been made already about it? Or I haven't seen a reason that – medical reason to sit him. He played the Rising Stars game the day after they played.
Yeah, he played a back-to-back already. You're telling me that he can't play another one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Zion will be really upset if you sit him. Yeah. How would you like strategically structure that? Do you play him on the more winnable game and just secure the win? Or do you take your chance and be like, yeah, we could probably win this game without him and play him in the game that you need him for?
I would play him in Dallas, and I would say, yeah, I think I would. I mean, home against Minnesota, I think it's not obviously there's no such thing as a guaranteed win for a below 500 team like the Pelicans, but I would still want to see him against Dallas and give them a decent chance. My question is around the next back-to-back they have is the one I could actually see Zion not playing both, because the first game being in Utah in altitude, like that's tough to go from there and then go play the Clippers the next night. And so I could see a scenario where Zion doesn't play both of those games, but I think he plays both games of Minnesota and then Dallas.
Yeah. Just play Zion against Utah, get that more winnable one. And then whatever happens in LA happens in LA.
Yeah.
I agree. Our guys don't seem to play well there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although we played them close with, I think there are players out. Oh, it was Paul George's first game back, right? And the Pelicans almost
beat them.
Won.
We beat them.
Oh, we did beat them. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy stuff. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully Zion plays both of the next two.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think with how close all the standings are, they're going to want to play him. And Alvin's going to put up hell of a fight to make sure that he does.
Be real nice if the Pelicans on there. So, I mean, it's tough because they've got two straight four games and six night stretches. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. And so, but the two kind of that bridge that gap are at Minnesota and at Sacramento. And if they can kind of, and it's tough because they're both road games, but if they can take care of business in at least one of them early and just sit for the fourth quarter, I think that'll go a long way. So hopefully they can, and they've been doing a good job of that, to be fair. They've been trouncing bad teams and not having to play their main guns heavy minutes in the fourth. So hopefully they can keep that up.
Yeah. What I want to know is if Zion doesn't play, Are we bringing back Kenrich in the starting lineup?
Oh, I was going to – when you were talking about LeBron, I was going to mention him because not for the starting lineup reason, but is there any scenario – let's say Kenrich can't get right and he's out for the year. Is there any scenario you bring in a dude to just for the Lakers series to guard – someone who you think can do a better job on LeBron, is it not worth cutting even like
– You don't have time. I think the playoff date's coming up. I think it's in like a week.
Is it? No, I thought as long as a player was not on a team by March 1st, you're good. Is that not true?
Well, I think it goes both ways. If they've recently been waived, then there's a date. Like if they get waived after March 1st.
Yeah, then they.
Or if they got waived before,
like Jordan Bell screwed because he got waived today.
Right,
but. But yeah, so if you're not on a team as of March 1st, you can sign with the team and play in the playoffs. But I'm not sure if there's another date where you have to be on a team by, like, can you sign the last day of the season and play in the playoffs? I don't know the answer to that question.
I think you could.
Yeah, but
I think didn't the Spurs do something like that with Tracy McGrady like way back in the day?
Well, I don't know if the rule is still the same, but because they did change the March 1st thing a few years back, but.
Well, yeah. any
reality where you do that, like because Kenrich obviously the value he brings is that he gives you another body against LeBron. But is there anyone out there?
I was being largely facetious about Kenrich, but
he still helps in the playoffs.
Come on. You think Kenrich Williams is getting any minutes in the playoffs? I was running an eight man rotation at best.
Yeah, and he's absolutely not one of the. I'm not saying he's one of the Pelicans' eight best players. He's not. I know that. But also, maybe nine. But Bron just has done.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out something.
They have to figure something out. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
And maybe it takes an epiphany from Zion. Maybe that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just let LeBron score 50 every time and you shut everyone else down. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty. It really isn't.
Yeah. It's tough.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the obvious answer is Zylan. He's our Giannis, man. He is turbo Kenrich. That's what I call
him. Can two-way guys play in the playoffs?
Sure.
If they haven't used their a lot of days?
Sure.
I just don't remember if I've ever seen that.
Did you see Jamel's new tweet?
No.
Dear Dad, you're the best dad in the world. You're always thinking of us and putting your best foot forward with our best interest in mind. You continue to deliver. You are.
Oh, did Indiana beat the Spurs?
They beat the Spurs.
This is so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
At least something went the Pelicans' way tonight.
I love Jamel. That's why y'all better think twice before going at him. Protect him at all costs. Okay, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get your input on a couple questions going forward, mm-hmm. and we'll call it a wrap. So, right. going forward, do you think Zion finishes the season scoring 20 points in every single game? Like, will he have a game where he doesn't score 20?
I think yes. I think the answer is yes.
And do you think that? So let me qualify that. Do you think he has a full, like, if he gets hurt, I'm not counting that game. Okay. But just a normal game, he plays regular minutes is 32, 33 that he's getting.
Well, that was going to be I think the answer is still, I think he has a game where he doesn't score 20. Yeah.
Cool. I'll go the opposite. I think he finishes the whole season 20 every single night.
Like I could see a scenario where he's not, he just doesn't get a ton of shots for whatever reason. And they're beating the brakes. So everything's going right. They're draining threes left and right. He doesn't have any chances for offensive rebounds, and he then he doesn't play the fourth quarter. So I could see something like that happening. So, yeah. But I think the numbers.
I feel like Alvin will blow a gasket if they don't get him the ball.
Right.
Okay, next question. Who finishes the year with a higher points per game average, Brandon Ingram or Zion Williamson? Brandon Ingram is at 24.6. Zion Williamson is at 24.1.
It's Zion to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take Zion in that too.
Yeah.
Wow, they're really close in terms of their raw stats and like points per game in total rebounds, because Ingram's at 6.3 rebounds and Zion's at 6.8. Obviously, yeah. Like per 36. Zion's got, is
yeah. Zion's doing three offensive boards a game.
Yeah, and Zion's at 30 points a game per 36.
It's insane. So the only guys in, who have gone 30 points or more per 36 and had like a true shooting percentage or no effective field goal percentage of over 60% is like the Zion this year and the peak Steph Curry year.
It's just stupid. Okay. Here's an interesting one. Who averages more drives per game from the moment Zion played his first game till the end of the season? Zion or Lonzo?
I'm gonna go Lonzo.
It's close. I think they're both at like 4.2. One's at like 4.8, one's at 4.2.
Yeah, I'm going Lonzo. I'm having full-blown recency bias on this one and hoping he can carry it forward against bad teams.
I hope so, too. There's no reason that he shouldn't do that like four times a game.
I agree.
There's no reason.
Nope.
I hope he – especially like the Timberwolves, they don't have any rim protectors. Do they have any – Towns isn't even playing. Like what bigs do they have? Can you name a big on their roster?
No, they traded him to Memphis. They traded Gorgie to Memphis, so he's gone too.
Yeah, so name a big on their roster. Don't make up a name.
I was considering it. The LSU guy. Naz Reid.
Oh, he does exist.
Yeah, and he's actually decent. I thought he was going to be a total bust in the NBA. I didn't see the game translating.
They have Hernan Gomez. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Okay, guy is going to get broken by Zion. They have James Johnson. I feel like they're going to throw James Johnson at Zion. That's going to be interesting. James Johnson he's a fighter. I think he made a few of the players like, I don't want to meet you in dark alley teams. Okay. Then last question. Who finishes the year with more minutes played from this point onward? Jackson Hayes or Frank Jackson?
Oh. Why are you trying to make me mad in the podcast?
You didn't enjoy the Frank Jackson minutes last night?
I think it's so I'm gonna go with Jackson Hayes. And the reason is because I'm hoping that he plays a lot of garbage time. But I know Frank Jackson would probably play that garbage time too. But I'm still going to be
talking yourself out of it.
No, I'm still going to go Frank Jackson Hayes because I have wishful thinking and I don't want to see Frank Jackson play.
Okay, well, here's a better question, a more fun one. Who finishes the year with more minutes per game, Favors or Melly, from this point forward?
More minutes per game?
Yeah.
I think it's Favors, but I think that flips in the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs,
yeah, fair enough. I got one. What do you think on that one first?
I know what I want it to be.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's probably going to be Favors. I think the organization's very high on Favors.
Question for you is from now to the end of the regular season, the game high in total in points in these Pelicans games, does it come from a Pelicans player or an opponent?
The highest point total ever?
No, the highest point total in a game between now and the rest of the season for in the games the Pelicans will play? Does it come from a guy on the Pelicans, so probably either Ingram or Zion, or does it come from a guy who the Pelicans will be playing?
I'm trying to think of, like, volume scorers the Pelicans. So right off the bat,
Trae Young is one.
Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell.
Yep. And they've got two games against Trae Young.
And then you have the Clippers guys.
With Kawhi, Embiid, if he's healthy.
And
I think you boy, take the – I think your boy, twice. Who's my boy?
Beal, twice.
Bradley Beal. Yeah, okay. I'm taking the field. There's no way Bradley Beal doesn't score like 45 against us, at least in one of the matches. Yeah, I'm taking the field on this one.
Easy. I think so too.
Easy field. That's a ridiculous field. You have to like level the odds a little bit.
No, you're. I think you're exactly
There's
right.
two guys in that field averaging 30 a game.
Yeah.
Trae Young and Bradley Beal's averaging 30 a game.
Watch, it's going to end up being like the field, but for the weirdest reason. What's like DeMar DeRozan on the last night of the season put up like 55 or something like that?
I just want to say, what percent of Etuan Moore is 30 points a game and 6 assists?
That's a weird way to phrase that question.
36 and 4. We can do reverse math here. So if Etuan Moore was 88% of Bradley Beal like 2 years ago, where are we at now? 36 and 4. This guy is ridiculous. Over his like last 16, he's like 37. It's like he's averaging Harden numbers. I don't think people understand how hard it is to average 30 a game. And it's not like
– unless you're Zion.
Yeah, unless you're Zion. And his efficiency is fine. It's like 57.9 true shooting. Like it's perfectly fine.
I'd say it's better than fine.
He's been pretty bad at defense, and so is that whole team, but, like, it's 30 points a game.
Why would he care at this point? Why would Bradley Beal give a shit about playing defense at this
point?
What
I want to know is, like, when Bradley Beal eventually ends up on a team that is functional, like, can he go back to not being this mega usage guy? Like, do you scale back from that? Russell Westbrook tried with Paul George. It had mixed results. Now Westbrook.
Did he try?
Yeah, he tried. He tried. And now Houston was like, you know what? You Westbrook be Westbrook. We're going to get rid of all the bigs. You do what you want. And he's thriving again. So I don't know if Beal can ever go back. Like, if you trade for Beal, is he going to walk onto the team and defer? Like, would he defer to Zion? He would he would not defer to Brandon Ingram.
So, like, it depends on how you define defer. Like, I feel like if you have two stars, the only time you're talking about deferring is like when the game's on the line, right? I mean,
they're gonna cannibalize. Someone's usage is gonna get cannibalized.
That's not really happening for Harden and Westbrook. I know that's an extreme example, but those two, neither one of those guys. But
no
Beal's even
else
have
on that team touches the ball. they don't touch the ball. They're like, you be open and you shoot, and then if you have a really bad defender on you, you screen for me.
But also, even now is Bradley Beal's usage up where Harden and Westbrook is? I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats.
I mean if you're scoring 30 a game, what's your usage at, buddy? His usage is 34.2, which is pretty high. Yeah. And in Harden, let's just look at Westbrook.
Yeah, I was looking at Westbrook too. His is 34.3.
Yeah, it's the exact same. And the Pelicans, like, Zion is in like at 30. He's at 31.2. So one, they need to bump up Zion's usage, just irrelevant to Bradley Beal. But like two, like, I don't think Bradley Beal walks into a team like the Pelicans, as young as they are, and is like, you know what? I'm going to defer to first-time All-Star Brandon Ingram and a 19-year-old.
I agree with that.
That's why Drew is important, because he will.
What?
Sorry. No, I would still – I still want Bradley Beal on my team, deferring or no deferring. I will – have that take until the day he retires.
I know, and everyone relies on you for it.
At least I'm reliable.
I'm waiting to see more. I love the first response to Jamel's tweet asking, can he give us Miles Turner? And Jamel says, I think he's going to need him down the stretch.
Jamel is so good at handling people. Okay, I think we can call this podcast a wrap. I feel like you gave me some interesting questions to chew on.
Yeah. And we'll come back. We'll come back soon and try to do another mailbag pod. So
for sure. Stay tuned for this week.
Yeah.